Welcome, everybody. It is SharePoint. No. PMP.
Take two. Take two.
It is PMP Weekly. It's yes. Weekly, episode 70. And it is a 10th of February, 2020. And this week, we do have a visitor directly live from a sunny, no, it's morning.
There is snow in the back. If you look directly through the window, you see snow, a lot of it.
Yes, so. That's true. Definitely huge snowstorm today.
Before we do the intros on that side, so my name is Sasa Juonen. I'm a principal program manager from OneTrust SharePoint Engineering. And with me as the co-host, as always, is Valdek. Who are
my
you?
My name is Valdek Mastegash. I am head of product at Rancor. And today, our guest is Seb. Welcome, Seb.
Hey, good morning, guys. My name is Sebastian. I am a product lead at Valo Internet, and I'm coming directly from Montreal, Canada today.
There we go. And you snows. People have snow. We don't have
yes.
snow.
Oh. Yeah. like definitely proper snow. Like we just
yes.
went through a huge snowstorm. So in my window that I see right there, I have probably like 50 centimeters of snow in my door, so I can see it through. Pretty
nice.
Intense.
I wanted to. I'm jealous.
No, you don't.
Snow. I like snow. Like, it's been really, I think, like here in the Netherlands, we had proper snow 3 years ago, maybe last time. So, like, at times I'm worried, like, how long will it take until kids nowadays won't know what snow is?
Yeah, that's,
and
yeah,
next in this episode, we're going to talk about how to build and grow plants. So, as you can see, we use this.
But more about that after a commercial break.
Commercial. Okay. Anyway, so Seb, you're a product lead in Valo. We did actually meet last week in Helsinki as well because we had a special event. Let's come back to that one maybe in a second. What does it actually mean? What is Valo and what does it mean that you're a product owner?
So Valo is a digital workplace product suite. So from governance automation on Teams and SharePoint and everything groups to intranet. That's what we've been known for a long time, building beautiful and usable intranets. Ideation tool. So we have our own brainstorming and ideation tool.
I heard aviation and I was like,
that would be
yes.
cool,
you, that would be cool, you didn't know about that, however.
So ideation and a bunch of other smaller pieces that we have in our product offering. It's been a long time. I joined Valo actually more than three years ago. It's been way too quick. It's going fast. And my role as a product lead is to manage the entire product strategy from what we develop to when, to market trends, to everything. So my hands on the keyboard has been a little bit less busy. I'm becoming really, really good at PowerPoint. And
I can relate on that, so that's all good. So.
And, sometimes I miss it a little bit, but I really love my role there. That's what I do now, PowerPoint. <Yeah. laughs>
And you've been an MVP also for quite a few years, by the way. It's just kind of your background on the SharePoint. You started on SharePoint.
Yeah, I was actually born in SharePoint. I love to say I was born in SharePoint. My first gig ever, the guy that was doing the interview with me told me, hey, do you know anything about SharePoint? So like, is that done in C# and .NET? It's like, yeah. I know SharePoint. So I landed my first job ever in SharePoint 2003, just before 2007 came up. And I guess I never escaped it.
Yeah. And that was when Seb was 14 at the time, right?
Well, so if he was born in SharePoint, then it's 2001, so he is 19 now.
I was actually 17 at the time, my first out of college job, InfoPath form. That was great.
There we go. You've gone through the whole journey of transitioning to the cloud.
It's been everywhere.
to be fair, so just to also clarify, I personally known Valo for actually even longer than you because
probably.
Because for whatever reasons there was an interesting accident. So there was I think back in 2014, I was actually in Redmond, just by a coincidence, and I was having a meeting with Jeremy Thake on his room because he was in marketing still at the time. And then he's basically said, "Hey, wait, I have a meeting started. Oh, but it's a Finnish company. So do you want to stick in the meeting and have a chat?" And it's like, "Okay, which one is it?" "It's the Plumithier, Plumithier in Finnish." I said, "Yeah, I know those guys." And then my ex-sales director called, who used to be working in Microsoft, to Jeremy. And I was like, "Hey, I'm here." I said, "What?"
The world is small, huh?
Exactly. But yeah, so I've been kind of following up on that journey as well. There's Valo is definitely one of the let's say most successful first entrant in a box providers, but then also expanding to other areas as well. So how do you see, actually, so people do always kind of say that, well, internet in a box is dead, and that seems to be now people are saying that. Is that something what you would agree, or how does it look like for you? Not putting you on a spot, but...
No, absolutely not.
I agree. That was easy.
Worth my mic when you need a mic. But no, I think I would agree that usage is moving a little bit, but I don't agree that the internet in a box is dead today. And we see it in the way that people are using it. People are seeing a lot of potential in the Microsoft Cloud and everything that happens in SharePoint Online. But I think they do agree that there are some accelerators that are that can be really useful to bring in, so you don't have to build it all yourself. That's the same thing as downloading a PNP sample to not have to code from A to Z. Same thing for your own intranet as a more of an end user perspective. So that's how we see it right now.
Yeah. And are you seeing a demand going from a SharePoint to Teams, or is it kind of balancing out, or what's the kind of, obviously we're pushing heavily Teams as the collaboration platform. Yep.
Well, we see it for a long time. I would say since I joined Valo, everybody was saying, "Hey, we are pushing that URL as the homepage of our IE or your Chrome or Edge or whatever." Now we see a lot of organization saying the exact same thing, but with Teams. That the first contact they have to their productivity on a single day is Teams. So for us, Teams is not just an opportunity. It's where it has to be. So we're pushing a lot of our innovation from just SharePoint to SharePoint plus whatever other platform, including Teams. So we have people that are hands down super deeply in the bot framework, and people that are in the SPFX and personal apps and all these things to really bring the value in a single environment. And I wouldn't say luckily, but surprisingly enough, we realize that the users are really happy about it. They really enjoy those ways of consuming information. So it looks like Teams is really taking over the entire day of a worker. It's basically Teams or their real work, not like in between with 25 different set of apps. So we see it. And by us being there and playing a role in their success, I think they're quite happy.
Yeah. So kind of a surfacing also the LOB systems and the communication systems and corporate communications inside of the Teams as well, because you can actually make that happen.
Exactly.
Well, to be fair, nowadays, after the Ignite 2019 announcement and things finally getting rolled out, you can actually make the default landing page to look like a corporate portal in Teams and all of that stuff, which somebody should talk about it, by the way, so because it is not that big of a deal. Do I need to do a video again? I don't want to do
Yes, do it.
But yeah, but the people can actually do that. And at least personally, sure, I'm from OneDrive SharePoint side. And yes, we see the demand, the collaboration is going to the Teams. Also last week, it was announced that Jeff Dieper is taking over the Teams as well. Jeff Dieper being the father of SharePoint and then owns OneDrive as well. And now Teams is bundled into that one. So that's actually really interesting development. That's going to be now the Uber collaboration platform.
Sweet.
But then at the same time, corporate communications of every single mid-size and large company are still concerned on how can we force our messaging being visible for our employees. Is that something still what you see it Seb as well?
Definitely. I see it from both sides. So they're corporate comms that want to push messaging and ensure that it's read and the messaging is going out and is easy also for users to consume it. That it doesn't look like it's something that they have to do and it's a boring task. It has to be part of their journey. And But the other side is also really true, where people want to subscribe to some of those news and being able to receive the content that they care about. Yeah. So both ends are there, but definitely the making sure that the messages are being read is still today a huge thing, especially in health and safety, when they have to read some notices on what's happening, new procedures, new guidelines. They have to. So that's one of the reasons why we see it a lot.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's fun stuff.
Yeah. And I think it's a natural evolution of things as well. It's the SharePoint and the portal-based approach, and then the separate collaboration platform has always existed for a long time, or more than a decade. I think it's natural that we try to make it more flexible. But then what's actually interesting, that we had... Was it with you guys last week when I dropped by for a few hours, or was it with somebody else? We were just chatting that there was this actually a lot of the kind of scenarios where customers, or maybe it was in EDU, where people are asking that, can I actually change, for example, Teams default tab, not to be conversations, to be a custom application or
files or custom,
be something else? Yeah. So do you see these kind of things as well, or
definitely.
Of course. I mean, you're coming like imagine you're coming from a world SharePoint where you can change anything and everything now to the Teams, which is just happens to be a different experience, but the demands are still there. The ideas are still there. Like, I want it to be mine, and that entails this, 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 and this, and that. Can I do it? It's like, no, not yet, at least.
Well, it's kind of your first landing can always be on the same tab, but it's definitely we see it also per persona in the organization. I'm working in this type of department. I want to have this as my landing page, but I'm somewhere else, and I want to have conversations because my main role is project manager. So I want to be able to converse with everybody. So these are definitely stuff that we hear a lot. It's and for us, it is an interesting adventure, especially with the fact that Teams is still, even though it's a great product, it's a really, really new product. So all of those controls that we used to have with SharePoint and these kind of things, they're not there, or they're not positioning themselves as the same way as they were in SharePoint. So for us, we have to basically learn an entirely new product, an entirely new set of governance and settings and policies to be able to kind of reproduce what the customer is asking for, and that makes our life interesting because now we're learning a ton of new stuff. But it's for sure less back in the day with like 1, 2, 3. Okay, we're good. It's done. Now it's a little bit more research.
And I guess it's also an interesting dilemma, right? Because on one hand, it's exactly as you said. Like, everybody wants to have a tailored lending experience to who they are, what they do. Mm-hmm. Crossover that to internal comms, who said, yeah, but when there is new blog from CEO, or when there is new regulation or training, we need everybody to know that. So how do you marry these two and give people like experience that combines them, right? That, yes, it caters to their daily needs, but in case there is something super urgent they can know about it immediately.
Yeah.
And that's where kind of the regular homepage of the intranet is something that has to go through a new set of thinking. You have to, we love to say it internally, we love to componentize all of those. So then afterwards you can reprint, like kind of drag and drop those components. Yeah. And then in any
I know. Let's surface. Call those components as web parts.
Oh, no, never mind. No, widgets.
Widgets.
Users don't know web parts in a widget.
Sorry, Sam.
Yeah, but so that is also an interesting thing, right? Because when you are in Teams, discussion that you have that is tied to a specific place. It's in a specific channel, specific team. So it's always this single place. Whereas if you would think about, okay, I start my day, what do you want to do? You probably want to have conversation from all over the place tailored to you, to your you being the audience, right? So how do you surface all of that based on your interest, needs, job role, and so forth and so on?
So this is where initially we're like, what are we going to do? Are we going to push messages to 2,000 channels and create 2,000 conversations around those pieces? Or should we bring those to the left-hand rail that we have in Teams? So one of the things that we've been investing heavily in the last couple of months is to build an experience that is on the left nav, fully built using SPFX and personal tabs. And this is really where you're going to be able to have all those tailored components. So this is your landing page. We don't consider it to be the homepage of the internet, but your own dashboard or your own personal landing page. And from there, you can move on back to the internet or whatever other system you want to do. But to have this experience as part of the left rail, customized with the logo and icon of your own organization, you click there, you see it, you can experience it, and then afterwards you can move on to your actual task. We've seen a really, really good success with that part of the moving people to Microsoft Teams. They still need that landing page. They still need that home page that they used to have in their browser. But now to have it as part of a really simple way of coding stuff on the left-hand rail, that's actually pretty cool. It has been really successful for us.
And obviously have it partly personalized and partly corporate messaging and kind of a combined. It's anyway, the personalized portals were heading to that direction already before, but now then getting that to the Teams. But now you mentioned something which I'm actually interested in, obviously, from a SharePoint framework perspective. And there's another technical thing which I wanted to touch. So personal apps and built using SharePoint framework. You see that as a viable, kind of an interesting option for ISVs as well. Obviously, I have my strong opinions on things. I wanted to hear your comparing to the SaaS way of doing stuff. So comparing the, let's say, surfacing GitHub in Teams, which is one option, but you're slightly different ISV. So what's your take on building the stuff using SharePoint framework?
So for us, even though we are, we could be considered like that entrenched in a box or almost SaaS offering, we actually don't act or operate as a SaaS company. We, through our partner network, our partners are deploying the Valo pieces to the customer tenant. So they own all of the code. So everything is in their own tenant. And because of that, SharePoint framework is amazing for us because it lives in the right tenant with the right set of permissions. Yeah. And we can easily make a web part, build a web part, and make it as part of the Teams experience. So for us, not only it's a great technology platform and blah, blah, blah. In the end, it's React and HTML. So it's not, but it's the magic that I can pin a web part to that personal app that makes a world of difference. Initially, before 1.10, we started to look at options. Okay, let's build a full create React app and start from there and build everything and host it. And then like, oh my God, there's a lot of stuff that when you don't actually notice it, there's a lot of stuff that is magical with SPFX from a hosting perspective.
I need to quote you on that one.
Definitely.
It's magical.
Magic. A lot of the underlying thing that we don't care anymore. It's literally using SPFX or SharePoint as a pass.
Yeah.
And then my code runs on that pass and magic happens. And we've been, finally, you know the GIF? I'm gonna have to send that. As soon as we started to use the personal apps, literally nothing went wrong. We were able to use the exact same concept, the exact same code. What is the challenge is the fact that authentication sometimes can be a little bit hard, especially when we compare the client and the client and everything. You have to use the right things. Once this is in place, everything just works flawlessly. And for us, that has been a huge change in even in our own mindset on how we're going to approach new capabilities in our own products. It's going to all be Teams first. And the beauty of it is that if you make it Teams first and you make it a web part, well, SharePoint second is really not far behind because you just have to drop that on a page and the magic also happens there. So for us, it's especially in that phase of transition from the classic intranet to the Teams first digital workplace, this makes our transition so much easier.
Makes perfect sense. Now, but we need to get to the articles in a second as well. But but there was something which you also mentioned. I'm kind of curious on your take on this one about the bots, and you have specialists on bots, and you're writing bots as well. What's the current demand for bots? So are people kind of finally getting them? Is the usage growing? There was it has taken quite a long time for people to actually truly start looking into the bots area.
And even today. There's a growth, that's for sure. Is it a hockey stick type of growth? Absolutely not. It's still in a very early phases of that, like, innovation wave. We're getting there, but definitely not taking masses of people into use. But from a team's perspective, bots are more than just a chatbot. They are part of the actual UI of Microsoft Teams with messaging extensions. Those are built on the bot infrastructure, but those are clickable items. Those are actions, like custom actions that we had in SharePoint. So those being backed by a bot makes a ton of sense because they are natural for people to use. They're integrated in the Teams user interface, and it makes the life of the user super easy to, I don't know, ask a question or search for data or to do execute something. So for us, these usage of bots make a lot of sense.
Yep.
And I think this is where also SPFX or whatever will this be called, with Jeff now being owning the entire collaboration ecosystem. I would love to be able to see more SPFX stuff happen in these areas, because I think this will not only bring more people to SPFX, but more people to build specifically for Teams. So.
Yep. Makes sense. Cool. Should we go to the articles for a while?
Yes.
And then we'll get back on them so we don't run out of time, because there's a lot of content as well. We could be talking for ages and ages.
Yes.
Obviously, that's not the problem. We've seen that in the past. It's good that, by the way, that we have a hard stop rather than free schedule. Anyway, so Ship on Saturdays next week, the Ship on Saturday Cairo coming on February 15th, as that is next week. I haven't actually checked at all who's talking in here, but let's see the situation quickly. 4 days, and I think we should have speakers line up already available, and MVPs and people flying over. Yep, multiple MVPs, multiple locations. Not a massive amount of people, but still experienced people, and let's see if the schedule is already up to date as well. But that's getting moving, and that's working on it. Okay, so that's anyway on next Saturday. Also, what happened last week, by the way, we actually talked about this one last week within the SP Dev Weekly as well. No, sorry, BMP Dev Weekly. No, BMP Weekly. No, Weekly. Now, that it's actually kind of funny that it's SharePoint Saturday platform, but then people are having Microsoft 365 platform and what
was the other one? Ultra 365 Saturday,
Yeah, and there we go. Office 365 Saturday. And this has been slightly confusing. And I think one of the announcements actually on this area was the collab days. I think the intention of this one is to kind of get rid of the name-specific terminology, and then people can actually talk about the technology in the events, but it's basically a new hosting platform for those things. And some of the dates were already announced on that one. I think it's an interesting, let's say, dimension shift. As well. Yeah, shift on moving in one direction. So anyway, on Microsoft side of the house, there was a few news and a few announcements on the SharePoint community. Why is it SharePoint community blog? Because this is SharePoint blog. Oh, anyway, SharePoint Next Steps moves people to the latest collaboration experience. So this one is kind of an interesting. So basically helping people on doing the next steps when you are writing a new article or publishing stuff. So that's a new feature. And I think it had some artificial intelligence, and there was a lot of additional ideas on how to make things happen. So driving people like connect your site to the Office 365. And then if you need to do scale, transformation, and modernization and understanding things, in this blog post, we're also promoting the modernization scanner tool. Super important, super, super important to understand what's in your tenant. And if you're using classic workflow as an example, you want to know that somebody is using classic workflow, because classic workflow is going to go away. So sooner or later, somebody's going to yell. So it's a good idea for IT to be up to date on what's actually happening. Or InfoBath. Don't use InfoBath anymore. It's going to go away. Don't use it. Or Classic Block or Delph Block, which is a good example, actually. So I think it was actually Sepp even who gave us an idea on how to do migration of Delph Blocks.
That might have happened.
Yeah. Good entry from Mark Cashman from the marketing side of the house. So then there's a new Intrazone podcast related on designing your intranet and really concentrating on information architecture. So there's Suzanne, Melissa, and Matt, all from Microsoft. Well, not Suzanne. Suzanne is not Microsoft.
So almost all from
almost
Microsoft.
Almost all from Microsoft. But yeah, so Matt has been involved on creating the modern intranet kind of a workshop. And then Melissa is the mother of hubs, so among other things. And she likes that term, so that's fine to use. But basically talking about the information architecture and what kind of things, what are the considerations and how we should be moving away from deep constructural site collections rather to a single site collections, and what does it mean in practice, which by the way still freaks out some of the people, because
really,
yeah, well, it's natural, there's like multi-terabyte sized site collections in some of the customers, and it's like what one site collection,
I mean,
one
the videos site, the videos, I mean, if you have one site with videos then it will be big, but yeah.
Related on that one, so that one was Matt actually in the intro zone as well, realizing the value of intranet in your organization. This is really around the workshop materials, the SharePoint adoption workshop materials, and explaining what's available. I don't think we actually do have some of this material as a downloadable. It's apparently, unless I'm completely mistaken, it's not easily available in a GitHub or just a simple download and location, because it's basically scattered here and there. But the whole point being on the fact that there's a workshop related on how to take advantage of the latest intranet structure, and this material is actually useful for that one as well. And then SharePoint Lookbook having a big role there as well. We're looking into, by the way, having Teams demos in the SharePoint Lookbook as well.
Nice. And the good thing is that any Ignite the Tour actually hosts those
Correct.
Workshops. So if you're around somewhere, definitely something to look at.
Yeah. And we're looking into, we're having internal discussions, so maybe we should actually just open source that material so that anybody can re-deliver that locally or regionally, because that is scale, rather than forcing people to fly over to Ignite events. Now, what else has happened within the last week? We released a new version of SharePoint, season version. Actually, also the SharePoint Online PowerShell commandlets have been released. Not yet. Somebody's wondering this immediately. There is not yet a new .NET Standard version of season package. Still under development. Still super sad that it's not out, but it's being actively looked on, and should be coming out. Hopefully we'll get it out in SPC timeframe. So SPC would be the next big announcement, and it would make sense to do that.
In which year? SPC in which year?
I'm not going to say anything out loud.
Very good.
I just crossing fingers.
Almost thought I got you there.
Yes. Good. So then some community articles. This one is from Shao Mendes. Set tiles view on the default view in a list. So basically, explanation on how to make the cool looking tile views and rendering without code, which is actually pretty cool. Yeah. So there's a lot of more and more investments happening on the lists. So more complex configurations and designers and all of that coming natively as well. So super cool stuff. Absolutely. This one is from David Ramalho from Storm Technology, enable organization assets on a SharePoint Online, really looking into that PowerShell. So David is quite often sharing PowerShell learnings and using PMP PowerShell or SharePoint Online PowerShell to enable the organizational asset library as an example. And that basically then gives you the centralized location where you can pin store your logos and whatever official branding images, and then people can easily use that. Super useful, actually. Super, super, super useful. Good. Easily convert PMP taxonomy selection to updated value. A quick note from Joel. Basically how to get access on the value and how to get information, which is always useful as well, because when you're trying to find the stuff using Google or Bing or whatever, these are worth of gold, basically. Oh, somebody wrote about it. Yes, there it is. And I can actually move on. It's all about finding the right answers using Google nowadays, or Bing. from Vartaman, so SPFX using React Hooks to globally share service scopes between components, and really around, again, if you have a complex large solution, Vartaman works, by the way, for Valo. If you have a large solution, how do you efficiently share the scope and components and services between things? So, and multiple different options on making things happen. So what's Vartaman's role?
Yeah, he's working on our architect on our ideation tool that is all 100% Teams-based. So this is even better, especially in large Teams application where you have plenty of components and really like subtrees of very complex logic. Your MS Graph client can be really hard to go back to. So it is one of the reason why we're he's been blogging on that, because it's you can really lose control of your code if it can be really React is very tricky in how you pass properties around and Redux and that kind of stuff. So hooks is really, really cool.
Yeah. And he also had a sample available in the GitHub, and I think that's probably the reason why he hasn't actually shared this one in a centralized samples, because he didn't have time to write the README. Because we talked about before we started the recording that then Gary Tinder actually took his code and created his full hooks fork on the same sample. The downside, this is absolutely awesome, and this is really good. The downside, obviously, on all of this, that if we have this sample in individual repos across the whole GitHub universe, there's just no way for finding this. And that's why we're trying to get always the samples to a centralized web part repo or extensions repo, so that we can pinpoint that people can more easily find them. But it's just easier this way, and no pictures, and basically same for Wartaman. There's no demands for the templates natively. We do. We want to have a template which actually explicitly calls out what has to do. So. But anyway, would love to have either one of Wartaman or Gary, if you're listening or watching, and the samples in the centralized repo as well. Now, next one is from our Italian friend, Paolo. He keeps on releasing a new video in every single week, so that's why Paolo is a really good, which is great. There's some new stuff, and this is around consuming SharePoint Online using CSAM MSAL and OAuth, so multiple options. I don't think he has a special message for us this time. And those who did miss it, I think two episodes ago, actually, he had a special message in the video for us, so which was actually kind of funny. there was some video editing happening behind the scenes, and that was actually kind of fun. In the SP Dev Weekly episode 68.
Back when it was called SP Dev Weekly, because now
it's no longer weekly. Anymore. Weekly.
The good old days.
PNP Weekly.
Yes. So, and from Laura, really great stuff from her as well. Writes really detailed blog posts. How to use the service pattern in SPSX React solutions. Again, centralized stage management for the React solutions, which gets complicated if you have a large solution, and really around that, those learnings and how to take advantage of that. So, not a massively long one, but still getting started on things. So. How to define it and how to get access on that. And then the last one is not actually from last week. We somehow missed it from Joanna Klein the week before, protecting your teamwork in Office 365. And this is really around the fact that what if we take advantage of the labeling and automatic labeling on the Office 365, and what does it mean, and what does it actually drive, and what is the automatic control and all of that. So we actually obviously do dog fooding in Microsoft, a lot of these features, and we've been using this for a while. It is actually quite nice. And it actually gets more, let's say, end-user friendly. In the past, when you send an email, you wanted to secure that for a specific group of people. The terminology was super weird. I think now it's all based on these labels, and it's super consistent across all of the different products, so Outlook, Word, and Excel. So you can really guarantee that you understand what's available. So, and John Klein has a session in SBC 2020 on that one as well. So, will you be there, Seb, in the SharePoint conference?
Yep. Talking on site designs and PNP provisioning and logic apps.
Sounds interesting. How do we extend the out-of-the-box site designs experience?
How do we fill the gaps with PNP provisioning, which is, I think site designs are cool. I think PNP provisioning is powerful. So we glue them together with all of this.
In Valo, do you use site designs and site scripts as well?
So. We use site designs, but at a very, very minimal level, especially for SPFX, app customizers and that kind of stuff. For us, multilingual is really, really important in Valo. We support more than 30 languages, and site designs and site scripts in a multilingual fashion is definitely not the way to go. So for us, we actually had everything built for site designs, and we had to pull the brakes and wait for, I don't know, a V2 of site designs or something like that, because it is definitely something we'd like to leverage, but right now it's not powerful enough for us to leverage it on a yep. on a daily basis.
So what do you do then for provisioning, just out of curiosity?
Because we I'm so
curious on the provisioning stuff always.
I know. So what we do is we initiate an app customizer, yep. and the app customizer is then afterwards talking to our backend, and then yep. the backend is provisioning. So not through Flow, not through necessarily logic apps all the time, but at least we have a way of customizing what are the features you want to have in your site. Yep. So we then send the request back to our backend, and our backend is doing that from an async way, sends an email when it's done, and the people can go and consume their site. So it's kind of an enterprise version of the the site scripts and site designs, which are great for simple solutions for smaller organizations, but definitely not for organizations that are requiring the flexibility of what the cloud can really offer in that case.
Not yet, necessarily. So we'll see.
It's always about yet. It's always about
yet.
The next reference is going to be awesome. Come on. Just out of curiosity, on the back end, are you using then the BMP provisioning engine or what's happening right there?
Yes.
So to be honest, I knew that, but anyway. So
it's all BMP driven and all Azure function driven.
Well, and Valo nowadays contributes quite a lot of back actually on the provisioning engine as well. Understandable reason. Actually, two episodes ago, we had Irvin drop by in the community call. So Irvin is an MVP as well, and Irvin is definitely one of the key architects in the provisioning tenant provisioning engine. So, and works for Valo now. So get back learnings from there. But I think that's one of the key benefits out of the whole ecosystem and the community being so strong, and everybody knows each other because we can actually build together, which means that we can actually achieve much more together, and not about in a way that Microsoft doesn't get it. We need to actually fulfill the gaps. No. We understand that there's gaps, and we're more than willing to help you to then fill the gap. So rather that way, so we are basically heading together with the community the right direction. So not fight against you. So which we might have had done actually in the past at some point.
Okay.
Yeah. We're learning as well.
Okay.
No comments.
Sounds good.
We're running out of time. Any good plans for this week from either one of you? So we need to be pretty close fast.
Well, actually, this week will be a relaxing week. I've been too crazy last week. This week is going to be, I think I'm going to be on every single PNP call just listening. Yeah. And actually, I think
there's two of them this week. Yeah, that is
true. I'm presenting on Thursday, I think, actually. But that's going to be a slow week this week. So for me, no plans. That doesn't happen usually, but this week, no plans.
What about you, Waldo?
CLI
forward, obviously. CLI weekly releases.
Exactly. So yesterday I ran an interesting experiment where one of the things that we are looking for in the CLI is to offer a command to allow you really easily create a batch of list items.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so what is the fastest way of doing that? Right, and then in online you have number of ways, right? So you have the SPO REST, there is the CSOM, there is the Vroom V2 graph, and then there is also SPO batch and graph batch. So which of these is the fastest way, right? And it turns out that if you don't want to batch them, SPO obviously is the quickest way of doing that, right? Because there's nothing in between. Like, you call directly the API, it hits server side code, the database is being called, the items are there. But then when you do a batch, graph is fastest. And it's like, how can that be, right? So there's this interesting thing, like, how can graph, like Excel, it's 9 times faster. I mean, that is just a number on my machine, my test, so it's non-scientific proof, but it was 9 times faster batching through graph than calling single, like one call for each item in SPO.
That's pretty interesting, because even with CSOM, you actually do a one call from the CSOM object to the client SVC, and then it's the server-side operations happens through that. So almost like a bare middle happening in server-side APIs, but then still craft is faster. That's really interesting.
Yeah, like how do you relay that, and how is the batch deconstructed comparing to batch in SPL?
But what was really interesting around that one was also that Zach Rosenquist, who's actually responsible of all of the throttling and performance thing and everything else, he jumped on it, and now there's a discussion related on, okay, this is really interesting. We want to understand more what the difference is and all of that. So sure, in our side of the house, Zach is one of the persons who's behind of the throttling and want to make sure that the ISVs are happy. And yes, there are some ISVs who are not super happy right now because of these things. And we want to improve that experience, but at the same time, not compromise. Thank you. Not compromise the reliability of the platform, because throttling is there to as a safeguard of not pulling down the service. So it's a really interesting thing. But I let's see how that discussion evolves. But I think we kind of close up to this weekly recording on this one. So, but thank you everybody for watching. It was episode 70.
And listening.
Thank you, Zep, for dropping by.
You're welcome.
Really good to have you here, and we'll have a next, BNP Weekly in a week.
Yes, and a guest.
yes, we do, actually. Guest has been scheduled already. Excellent. Thanks for watching and listening. Later. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.